Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your chance to win the 9 o'clock hour prize. It is $25 to Frontier Justice just for listening. Ryan makes it simple to win.
Oh, you know, I like to keep it easy on the people. All you got to do is listen and dial. That's it. Two-parter. Listen for this.
Effing nothing.
Nothing. Next time you hear that drop, be caller number.
All right, this is for our online listeners because they're a little delayed. Let's go with caller number 37.
Ooh, caller 37. 37 the next time you hear that drop. To 913-576-7610. I'll hook you up at $25 to Frontier Justice.
So we don't know the timetable yet, but it looks like a new deal will happen between the NFL and its players. And good for the fans. You're going to get an extra regular season game and expanded playoffs.
Which is odd because you say good for the fans. And like Ryan and I talked about yesterday when we met with that group on Friday of guys who are like, who wants an extra game? And like three of 60 raised their hand.
You'll like it when it's there.
Yeah.
Granted, the median age was like 87 in
that
room.
That is so true. That is true.
Dan Graziano of ESPN.
Oh, change.
Says the player vote likely won't be for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're using fake grass now.
So they're still some a hurdle to go through over the next couple of weeks, but it sounds like if the reps pass it, the full body will pass it. They just got to get the language to them and let them vote. And it just takes a simple majority to get that one through. Mm-hmm. So,
and it looks like it will be because the way that they voted was 17-14 in favor and one abstain. So they should have the votes to pass this thing. And the players are getting $5 billion of new money, you know, contributed to them, which tells you how much more money the owners are going to be getting too, because the players are getting $5 billion of new money. Man, the owners are going to be making bank as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just printing money at the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that's going to happen, but we'll find out exactly when the vote will take place. Andy Reid spoke yesterday at the NFL Combine. What has changed since the Super Bowl?
I mean, I stay in the office, so I'm kind of isolated a little bit that way. So there's not much change there. I'm sure for the players, you talk to them, they're out there and they're being recognized as the world champs. I have gotten a couple free meals. I mean, that was nice, but I'm not out there that much to where I'm affected by it too much.
Man, I'd be out every night if I was Andy. So who wants to buy me dinner
just
tonight?
To see if you get a free meal
for sure.
Like it's fine. You're in the office long hours, where you're still going to duck out for a meal and just roll the dice. Right.
But that the fact of the matter is like that, that's the Andy Reid that I kind of expected after winning the Super Bowl. What's changed? Nothing.
Yeah, we took a couple days off. Then we were
right back. Yeah, went and grabbed some In-N-Out in California. Maybe came back for a day or two and rested around here, got a free meal, and then went back to work. Like, that's Andy Reid right there. Like, winning the Super Bowl in his public persona right now and who he is as a football coach hasn't changed him at all. He is no different as a coach right now because he won that Super Bowl. Well, it's February 26th. I mean, we've got draft. We've got OTAs getting ready to come up. Phase one of Del Boca Vista will be starting soon, and we need to get the weight training. Like, he is on to the next. He is legitimately on to the next. And we kind of joked about this the other day. Like, they're probably looking at going to the Super Bowl. That set us back a month. we got to catch up. We got a lot of catching up to do right now. So I don't think Andy Reid changes at all as a coach because they won the Super Bowl.
Speaking of that, was funny because obviously, your scouts and your people who are in the person, they're doing all that anyway along the, you know, along the road. And Andy was like, right away, he's like, yeah, you probably have to ask Veach that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just starting to get into it. Like, admittedly, like, I haven't looked at any of this stuff yet. So you can feel free to ask me this, but I don't ask Brad. I'm not involved in this.
Well, he's good at Ask Brett. He's been doing that for a while now. I mean, that's been a pretty good deal.
But it's very true on this one. You think he's sitting down watching any tape of any prospect?
Would you?
No.
No, I wouldn't do it after 6 and 10 season.
I think he has now. I think he did after he took his day and a half off or whatever and came back to the office. It was definitely what he was doing, but not a second during the lead up.
Right.
Like, yeah, sure. While all these other coaches are going over stuff, he hadn't touched a thing.
Not a thing.
Nor should he.
No.
So now you mentioned earlier, you know, Veach holding court about quarterbacks, right? How to pick the right quarterback. Andy gets asked about quarterbacks a lot, and you know, he's not even going to be picking a quarterback this draft, but, what does he think of left-hand quarterbacks?
I'm not sure what the percentage is in the world of left-handed people. Yeah, that's right. So you play my brother's a lefty, so I mean, I know, you play the left-handed game and, you know, we're just getting desks that work on the left side, right? I mean, you have to special order those, but they're actually putting them in schools now. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. The numbers are down, but that doesn't mean they can't be more effective or as effective.
You want to ask me about two or what? I have no idea. I don't know. I'm just making something up.
He's right, though. I'm a left-handed guy, and it was hard as a lefty. You got injured.
Yes, back
you're
in the day.
Writing over your body on those terrible righty desks.
I'm in the car.
Or just now getting those desks.
I'm in the car yesterday listening to that, and my daughter turns to me, and she goes, no, we're not. Like, when she's like, they don't use the desks where the thing goes up anymore. They're all just straight desks. They're not... You can be lefty or right. She was like adamant, like, what generation is Andy from? And I'm like, mine, where there was the issue of which side of the desk came up on the
Wait, they don't use that old style desk anymore where there's like one side's the little, like there's a bar where the desktop's on.
Desktop is, and you sit down, you kind of slide in, you know?
Yeah, it's just
there. Every once in a while, there was a
table now.
Yeah, every once in a while, there was a coveted left-handed desk, and if you found that as a lefty in a random classroom in high school,
where's the bar to hold the tabletop in place?
And then, God forbid, you had the spiral notebook, and you got the imprint on your hand from the spiral.
Yeah, you
gotta
go topsies on the notebook.
It's so hard to be a lefty. I mean, we're lucky more lefties don't die.
The green-handled scissors. Right?
Yeah, the green, because everything is developed for right-handed people.
Yeah,
and there are so many different things that you do left-handed. You're lucky there aren't more accidents. I mean, I'm being serious about that. I mean, that's why Ned Flanders
like
had the leftorium. I'm driving. Everything. Like, being left-handed is not easy.
Cars are set up for righties? What are you talking about?
Everything is set up for right-handed people in this world. Everything.
You could buy, like, a European car and be on the other side if you cross the street,
which way do you look first? You look to the right, you look to the left, because you're right-handed, because the world's set up for righties.
No, you're supposed to look to the left first, then to the right, then back to the left.
Only if you're in London.
No, I'm pretty sure that's...
You yield to the right.
That's here.
You look right.
You
look
yield left. To the
Everything
right.
goes to the right. Everything's right. Like the scissors. I mean, you try to cut scissors left-handed, and it's all messed up. And then you get the imprint of the spiral on your hand. And then if you write through ink, it gets the ink on your hand, on your palm. And then you're writing sideways and you're pulling a side muscle because you're reaching over and you're trying to write because the damn desk is on the wrong side.
I believe is what that
That's
is.
Right. Why do you think a lot of lefties pull their oblique in baseball? Bats are designed for righties.
Okay, that's... Now you're just being an idiot.
Bats were always designed for righties. Everybody knows that. Matthew and Olathe, your winner this hour. He gets $25 to Frontier Justice. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Big week ahead at the Combine. And it's not about any prospect next.
Why don't you blow it out your ass, Bob?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I was thinking during the break, Andy with the left-handed desks.
Clear that throat out there. You all right? You're verklempt.
They work in those auditoriums a lot, right, for those team meetings. The auditoriums certainly have not evolved to have a lot of left-handed desks.
No, God, no.
So when you're in the auditorium for that big meeting, I'm sure the player breakout room is probably a little bit different. When you're in there for that big meeting, those are all right-handed flip-up desks.
Yeah.
So he's still living the auditorium life. where they're just starting to get left-hand desks. When you're around Andy Reid a long time, I think you start to speak like Andy Reid as well.
Well, yeah, listen.
Brett Veach says Chris Jones is a priority.
Yeah, listen, it's certainly a priority for us, and I had mentioned that. I mean, sometimes these things take some time to work through. As you mentioned, the franchise tag is something that we have the ability to use. We certainly like to see if we can work something out with him, and I think the tandem of Chris Jones and Frank Clark is something that any team would want, and we're going to work hard to see if we can get that done.
Let's try to get everything done.
Yeah, get it all done. Listen, you know. I wish Brett would just drop a Times Yours. I mean, Clark did. I think Brett should drop a Times Yours, too.
How could you not help do that? I would do that all the time.
Just because you're laughing about it, and it's something that you've known for years with him. But, yeah, I think Chris Jones is a priority. I don't think Sammy Watkins is a priority, but I think Chris Jones is a priority, and I think they want to get Chris Jones done. I think they have a better opportunity, from what I've been told, of getting Sammy Watkins done than Chris Jones done, not by a whole long shot or anything like that. But, you know, Chris Jones and Brett Veach and the agents, I should say, for Chris Jones will meet this week in Indianapolis tomorrow, and they'll find a way to maybe get something done. Maybe they won't.
I think it's meaningful. Listen, all dialogue is good dialogue, and I think just being up front where we are as an organization and, you know, what our expectations are in regards to what Chris and his camp, what their expectations are, the last thing you want is for something to go awry because there just wasn't enough communication. So you can't have enough dialogue, and like I said, they've been very open and honest with us, and we feel we've been have handled this situation in a very similar fashion. So. Again, we're looking forward to sitting down with his agents this week and continuing to pick up on the dialogue and where it left off.
Big face-to-face week.
Can never have enough dialogue. It's like Jell-O. There's always room for dialogue.
Yeah, and it's good to have that dialogue. You want to have the conversation. You don't want to not talk to the agent, obviously. You don't want to do it via text or over the phone. You want to do it face-to-face. I think you get a lot more accomplished when you sit down and you talk face-to-face with somebody than you do if you text somebody or call somebody on the phone. It's better to sit down and have those conversations so you can honestly find out where everybody stands. And I think a lot of times, like, I don't know what you guys picture a negotiation, but I always, like, because of the way that, you know, that whole John Tate thing went down with Carl Peterson, remember that day? He's yelling in the elevator and all that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like negotiations, and I think we feel like negotiations are always these contentious battles. But at the end of the day, they really aren't. I mean, they're really just kind of casual conversations that you're having. I don't think they do necessarily get contentious because a guy like Chris Jones is going to get his money from somebody, whether it's from the Kansas City Chiefs or not, he is going to get paid. And so I don't think these are contentious negotiations at all. I think they sit down, they have conversations, and they present exactly what they're thinking and where they stand and what their, you know, opportunities are for the future. And if they match up, they match up. And if they don't, they don't. And I think it's a very amicable type of conversation. I'm sure there's a couple that get out of control, but I think for the most part, they're very amicable conversations that happen.
All right, we'll see what we can do. We'll circle back.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we got that out.
You mentioned
don't call me, I'll call you.
You didn't believe Sammy Watkins was a priority. Funny,
not in my opinion, he's not.
The funny, not funny part of this, he's still got a year on his contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
not that the Chiefs want to pay.
Yeah. Everybody knows, like, he ain't getting that last year. Including Brett Veach.
Yeah, Sammy's a guy that, like Chris, that we're going to have dialogue with this week. And, you know, there's certainly different options and different scenarios that could play out with him. He's a guy that we do want back. Again, these are good problems to have because when you win a Super Bowl, you obviously have a lot of good players and they make a lot of money. But you know, Sammy's a guy that, as you mentioned, I mean, he's been critical to our playoff success. And you know, just having dialogue, again, like we're going to meet with the Katz brothers. We'll meet with Tory Dandy, Sammy's agent. We have good relationships with these guys. And we'll sit down and we'll talk about the landscape of where we are and what would make sense to us and how we can make this work. And we'll get feedback from them in regards to what they're looking for. And hopefully we can bridge a gap and make something happen and keep as many of these good players on our team as possible.
I do like it. Well, we'd like to have him back. You have him for another year on his contract.
No, you really don't, though. Not at that money.
Go...
I mean, Sammy Watkins, for all intents and purposes, is a free agent.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like, we're not paying this.
Yeah. He is, in my opinion, Sammy Watkins is a free agent.
If you'd like to come back for this rate, we can probably talk.
Right. But if it's going to be any higher, or, you know, this is what we have to offer. I don't think Sammy Watkins, in my opinion, Sammy Watkins as much of a negotiation for the Kansas City Chiefs as much as it is maybe for his agent, right? I think for the Kansas City Chiefs, you walk in and you say, this is what we're capable of doing. This is what we're able to do. This is what we will do with Sammy.
And then he has to decide if he wants to be back or not.
And if you want to,
or you want to go to the open market.
If the deal works for us, fantastic. But if you want to go to the open market and take your chances of playing in like Buffalo or LA or Cincinnati or Cleveland or someplace else like that, where you kind of already been, you know what the other side looks like. But hey, by all means, go out there and do that. But like, this is what we're prepared to do. We'd like you to come back. We believe right now you are a luxury for us as an organization. We'd love you to be here, but we're going to do it on our terms. And if you want to come back on our terms, fantastic, great, wonderful. But if not, then hey, man, appreciate the 2 years. We'll see you down the road. I think it's a very easy negotiation with Sammy.
Easy. And then Sammy's really just got to decide, do you want to go to the open market where someone might pay you,
right?
Might pay you for several seasons, or do you want to play in Kansas City?
Right.
For him, it's like a vastly different decision.
Correct.
Chris Jones, go get your money.
Right.
And if it's not Kansas City, it's somewhere else.
Right.
For Sammy Watkins, you think it might be somewhere else, but, you know, I've seen the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some other teams. Maybe this is where I want to play.
Right.
But if you're the Chiefs, yeah, I get Mecole Hardman. I can use a pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. Got Byron Pringle.
Right.
I can find another wide receiver, a free agent type, and make him into something.
Yep.
I feel like I can next man up that one, no problem.
Yeah, I don't know that you can necessarily next man up Chris Jones.
No, you can't. Not right now.
Right? You can go out and draft the next Chris Jones, mm-hmm. but I don't know that you can necessarily on this roster one-up Chris Jones. And you don't have Patrick Mahomes on offense making all these guys better. And I feel comfortable with whoever you want to put out there playing wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes.
You don't think Mike Pinnell's the next Chris Jones?
He's not signed, is he?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No, he's free agent too. That's when you circle back. if you know Chris Jones.
Right.
The beginning of the end, we'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Tell me you didn't see this one coming, Fesco.
What's that, Josh?
The XFL's best ratings were in week one.
Yeah.
And they've dropped from week two, then again to week three.
Oh, shocker. I can't believe the XFL ratings have dropped drastically since their debut performance with such great quarterback play in that league. How could you turn away?
Now I will say I don't consume the league. I don't
watch none of it. You're just passing judgment.
Interest in the league.
I read things.
I don't have interest in the league. It doesn't mean it can't be viable either, though. I mean,
what's your target audience?
We have minor leagues all over the place, right? So there are plenty of leagues making a living,
right?
Not being at the top of their particular game.
But those minor leagues you don't see.
This one is interesting to me because you have the national television presence of it.
Correct.
I mean, they're on multiple national networks. So, like, what is their bar going to be to judge success?
I don't know, because it's not the play. The play isn't good. Like
says the man who's not watched a game.
Again, I've read things, okay?
Ryan, you watch. Has the play been good?
I mean, I've watched the Houston Roughnecks.
No.
The Houston Roughnecks
no.
are currently undefeated. I would say the play has been good.
The answer's no. That was a one-word answer, and you roundabouted it, made excuses.
Is the play bringing you back to the television, or the fact that you just happened to just hitch your wagon to a team?
Well, I mean, I hitched my wagon to a team, but I on the weekends when I'm sitting around the house, if I'm doing laundry, if I'm taking care of the honey-do list, if I'm just knocking out a quick little break, I'm sitting down, guess what I'm watching? I'm watching XFL. It's on. It's football. I like football.
I do, too. Not that kind of football.
I mean, I don't...
Do you like baseball? You're a baseball fan, right?
Yes.
You sitting down watching Double-A ball if it's on?
No, I'm okay. not. I'm not watching. Well,
you're
watching.
Ball. The only reason you even know about the G League is because Nick Nolte's twin went crazy this week.
That's unfair, though. You have 162. You don't have any reason to watch. I mean,
I don't. I've got plenty of other baseball. I don't need to watch
too
that
many baseball
okay.
games.
Okay.
What
if minor league baseball started in November and they played only in like minor league ballparks in Arizona where they do spring training and it was on every night on MLB Network and Fox Sports Kansas City?
Yeah, I'm probably at least turning it on for the background noise.
Was carrying the Arizona Diablos or whatever they are down there, Scorpions or whatever it is.
Chupacabras, I believe.
Are you watching that and thinking that's good? No, you're understanding and watching what it is. Like, people actually think the XFL is a viable option to challenge the NFL, and it's just not.
I've never made that an assertion.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying there are folks out there who believe that this is possible. If you really want this league to work and get me interested in this league, you affiliate it with the NFL and make these teams minor league affiliates for teams in the NFL like they did with the World League, where you're seeing players that are on teams or members of that organization that are playing in this league so they can develop and get better. We're not even seeing guys that were making practice squads in the NFL play in this league, okay? Guys who are on practice squads in the NFL are not making it in this league because they're in the NFL. That's the type of talent that they're utilizing right now in the XFL. It's one thing to be new. It's one thing to be different. But I've seen all I needed to see out of the XFL in the first week, and that was the replay review system, the different ways they're doing the conversions, the kickoffs and stuff like that. Like, I've already seen that. I'm not going to tune in to see that again because I've already seen that. I've already experienced that, and I've already got my mind made up about those changes of the game that they put in there. I don't need to watch week four of the XFL to get myself to the point where I'm making a great decision based on their new rules because now I've seen week four. All I needed to see was week one of that league, and I'm done with it. I don't need any more. It's not good football.
Now, the TV partners aren't outlaying billions of dollars, obviously, like they are for the NFL, so there's probably no investment. But my question is, how will they determine whether or not this is viable?
I don't know.
The
crowds have been halfway
because
decent,
the crowds have been okay.
Yeah.
Depending on where you go. I mean, we know St. Louis did a great job, and they're patting themselves on the back for putting 29,000 people in the seats in St. Louis for an XFL
Meanwhile,
game.
Meanwhile, down the street at a baseball game, there's more on a Tuesday night than there was for the XFL.
Game. You get 29,000 for a meaningless football game. Yeah. I think they did okay in that regard. But the television numbers are going down, down, down. Now, there's worse news for this for some of you.
Is it about the other sport that Bob hates?
Yes, it is. But the XFL did better than Kansas Baylor.
More people watch the XFL than watch Kansas Baylor.
And, like a singular game, right? Not just there was a game that topped Kansas Baylor, which had number one against number three in the country.
Mm-hmm. 1.8 million people in America watch Kansas versus Baylor. That's not even the population of Kansas City. We're over 2 million now. 1.8 million people in America watch Kansas versus Baylor, the two arguably best teams in college basketball.
Dallas, Seattle, XFL, more people watched.
That's right. And when I saw that, I'm like, this
is a Saturday day game, right?
Let's not make excuses.
I'm just asking a question. Yeah. It was a Saturday
11
day
o'clock.
11
yes.
a.m. Okay. But we can roll out all the excuses.
So a noon XFL game.
Right.
Topped Kansas Baylor.
That's right.
Who was the noon XFL game?
Seattle, Dallas.
Dallas, Seattle.
A meaningless regular season, early season game.
Couple of good markets.
So that college basketball should look at that and crap their pants, because what we just witnessed is that more people would rather watch a circus sideshow
than two of the best teams in the country.
Now it's a circus sideshow
in college basketball. And it goes back to my philosophy. The 3 weeks in March are the only thing that matters to college basketball. Nobody is consuming this product outside the month of March.
Sounds like 1.2 million people are consuming that product.
Which is nothing. There's 360 million people in America, and 1.8 million people watch the two best teams in college basketball go toe-to-toe on ESPN. It goes back to something that you said, Josh, a couple of weeks ago, which has kind of stuck with me. This is why they're pushing everything to ESPN Plus when it comes to college basketball, because nobody's watching.
You can't be mad about it. It's just not a universal enough product anymore. They're just throwing up a whole bunch of games, and it's great for the fan. You get to watch them. But if ESPN really thought that the last time was it, which one, what was the freakout game? Was Kansas and
West Virginia?
And West Virginia. that freakout game where everybody freaked out.
Everybody
on ESPN
lost
Plus.
Their mind.
If ESPN really believed that they could draw a number by putting it over there, do you think they would?
They would, of course. And these numbers prove out. The two best teams in college basketball, Kansas and Baylor, in a conference showdown on a Saturday afternoon on ESPN, 1.8 million people in America watched. That's half the population of the state of Kansas. That's not even that. That's not even the population of Kansas City. That's like Jackson County and Cass County combined. That's it. That's all that was watching that. So when people complain about ESPN Plus, get ready because there's more going there because nobody's watching these games on the big network. You can roll out minor league football at best, and people are watching that with bigger numbers than they're watching two of the best teams in college basketball in a sport that, you know, actually crowns a champion that matters.
Now, even though the XFL numbers are down, they're way ahead of where the AAF was last year.
Yeah.
And I figured that was going to be the case because they had better television
partners.
Better
television
partners. No offense to NFL Network, but they got the big boys involved in this one.
Mm-hmm.
They got the networks involved in this one. So they were already at a head start in terms of their potential to get a big audience by being on ABC and Fox and ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing an okay job. I'm curious to see what they define as success because it's not going to be taking down the NFL. We know that. But can you give the football fan enough of a little something to keep them, on the hook during these down football months?
I don't think there are down football months. So, like, if the XFL wanted to give you something during a down football month, go from June 15th to July 15th.
Correct.
When the NFL shuts down.
I think they placed the schedule. I think I understand why they did. They're like, let's capitalize and let's go on the week after the Super Bowl.
I get
and keep it going. But, yes, ultimately, if you try to put it on during the dead time when there's no NFL at all, there's no combines, there's no draft, there's no OTA workouts, all that stuff, and see how it did, I think that's probably a smarter time of year to try to go about it.
Give yourself a four-week season in, at the end of June, beginning of July, when the NFL is in its hiatus. Now, of course, everybody else in the world is in hiatus at that point of time, too, because it's the summertime, and it's not a good time to televise that kind of stuff. I understand that. But the NFL, it never has a dead month anymore, guys. I mean, it's like it constantly goes. Like, what's going on in the NFL right now with the future of teams taking shape, the draft, all that stuff, that's as exciting as games.
I'd rather watch the XFL than talk about Joe Burrow's hand size.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't want to do either, to be honest with you. But, like, I like the free agency talk. I like finding out where guys are going to go, what teams are going to look like.
I know, I texted
like.
You last night about the score of the K-State game, and you told me you were watching reruns of Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah, everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, I was.
I mean, laugh at it if you will. I bet you Thursday night's number will do very well.
Everybody loves Raymond sucks.
Oh, God, yeah.
For the combine.
I bet you the combine number on Thursday night, I'm going to go three times Kansas-Baylor.
I mean, I do think, though,
and that's in guys in their underwear running 40-yard dashes.
When you talk about Kansas-Baylor this past Saturday, I do think there are plenty of, and I'll use the word excuses because I do think it does boil down to that, Bob, like it is just an excuse. But I do think there are plenty of built-in reasons why that number wasn't higher.
Because the game doesn't matter and it's not interesting. Is that's it.
Oh, I mean, I would point to the fact that it is in the worst possible time slot for what you would consider a marquee basketball game. The team opposite you isn't necessarily that ilk of a team that people nationally go, ooh, Baylor, let's get up for that.
Yeah, because the NCAA tournament is like during perfect time, like 11 a.m. on a Thursday. That's great time, and yet people seemingly watch that.
Bob, it's about the brackets. It's about a lot of these things that go into what goes on around it. It's not about the sport itself.
Point. The regular season of college basketball is pointless.
Well, that was where I was getting to anyway. But I think that there are some excuses and reasons for why this game didn't draw more than 1.2 million people. But
1.8.
Okay, 1.8. Again, I think that ultimately, though, where you wind up at is if you're complaining about this now, it is only going to get worse, and you're going to start seeing more and more of that start to bleed away from that TV. But I think that you are seeing people consume sports in many different ways now, ways that I'm not certain how it necessarily is affected in ratings, ways that, you know, people are streaming games, people are DVRing and watching it later. I know that Saturday's game, I was busy getting stuff done during the day because I was going to be out all damn night watching a fight. Like, I DVR'd the game and watched it later because I was going to be out, so I needed to do that. Like, I'm not counting towards that rating system. So I know that people nowadays.
But if your DVR is running, that's like watching, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not? That doesn't.
It is not. And someone's upset that I'm talking smack on Raymond.
Yeah, you.
I think that now, and this isn't news. This has been trending in that direction for a decade plus now. Like, the way we consume sports is vastly different than it used to be,
I agree, but you're using the same old metrics to point it out.
How
many people DVR and go back and watch a game? Another 1,000 people.
It should be embarrassing, and it is, because I love college basketball. I got beat by a meaningless XFL game.
I just think you're using an antiquated metric to decide the success of
something. I'm using the metric that everybody uses, though.
Antiquated or not, it's an XFL game beat Baylor.
Beat Kansas versus Baylor.
Stinks.
Yeah. And I think the bigger point is, when Josh said a few weeks ago, this is going to be the trend, and he said something to the point of, if people were watching, they wouldn't do this. And then the number comes out, and it's 1.8 million people watching. 1.8 million people watch one of the marquee games of the year in college basketball.
So I take it you're not going to RSVP to my Houston Roughnecks watch party this weekend?
What's on the spread?
Can he bring napkins?
Nothing you like.
NFL teams are chasing their tails. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
They're just wasting their time this week at the Combine, aren't they? They're looking at quarterbacks. So now this year, everybody will try to find the next Mahomes, right?
That's exactly right.
The next Lamar Jackson, right?
Exactly.
And how many of them are going to succeed?
None.
Are they going to find the next Patrick Mahomes in this year's draft? Not to say you shouldn't do it, because same thing was said of Andrew Luck. That didn't mean you like shut down looking at quarterbacks after Andrew Luck was out, right? You wouldn't have found Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
Had you done something like that. But now Mahomes moves to the front of the line, and now everybody will be searching for a guy to be Mahomes, especially if you're in the division. I mean, how could you not be scrambling if you're in the division
and put the pressure on to find
that next dynamic quarterback?
I mean, what do you do, though, if you're in the division right now? I mean, you really are behind the eight ball, because it's much like, you know, what's going on in New England, what has gone on in New England for the last 20 years. What do you do, man? Like, where do you even look? Where do you even start? How do you even try? Because you've got not only a good quarterback in the division, you've got the best quarterback in the NFL in your division. And you going out there and winning football games and trying to win football games is almost a futile attempt, because you're not going to, as long as Patrick Mahomes is here. You're just not going to be able to win this division and be competitive in this division as long as Patrick Mahomes is here. And so I know you have to try, and that's part of the deal, and you got to try to find that guy. But the odds of you trying to find Patrick Mahomes are slim to none. And the more time that you waste trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes, you're missing out on some guys that may be pretty good, maybe halfway decent, but not going to live up to what Patrick Mahomes is. And I think it's a futile attempt at life to try to go out there and try to find the next Patrick Mahomes.
Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, on competing against Pat.
His knowledge of the game, his ability to make every throw, he extends plays all the time, and he's a leader. I mean, his intangibles are off the charts. I don't think people talk about his leadership enough. I've known him for a long time. You know, we went to the same school, and I've known him since he came out of high school. But he's the best in the game. And if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And that's what we're going to have to do.
There you go. Anthony Lynn's like, oh, crap. Oh,
I'm
going to
ask
forever.
For a transfer.
I'm going to put in
for a transfer.
I'd like to go to the
next year. There's going to be
NFC
a couple of
South,
job
please.
Openings. I need to be transferred to one of those. I don't want to be in this division anymore. I'm like, God, there's no way we can beat this guy.
This kid forever.
I mean, he's been good since high school. We went to the same college. We screwed up not drafting him, you know. But anyway, I'm going to ask for a transfer.
And Tyrod Taylor's good enough to play.
Like, if you're Anthony Lynn and you're going to work with Tyrod Taylor as your starting quarterback, how do you walk into the trailer every day? Because that's where they are. They're not in offices yet. How do you walk into the trailer every day and look at yourself and go, you know what?
We
can do this. Because you can.
We can beat the best.
Especially when you're operating out of a trailer.
Oh, when you're operating out of the trailer. I mean, have you seen those videos like the Rams and the Chargers out there?
I mean, I bet it's a really nice trailer, though.
I'm sure they're very nice trailers. But nonetheless, your office is a trailer.
Nice double wide.
Lynn, on the future of the quarterback position.
I studied high school football. I love high school football, coming from the state of Texas, obviously.
Binkley.
But if you just study high school football, you know the direction of the National Football League down the road. I mean, all those quarterbacks are athletes now, and they pass year-round in these 7-on-7 camps. So now you have athletes that are really good passers.
and you can do so many things with that. But you have a handful of quarterbacks that can still win from the pocket.
When he says hip passers, is he talking about like, hey, hip, or is he talking about like using their hips to pass?
Pretty sure he's talking about using their hips or shooting from the hip.
He says hip passers. I don't know. Well, like,
I think it's
like,
cool to be that.
Like cool to be, yeah, like, yeah, like a cool passer.
I mean, I know.
Hey, daddy-o.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Combine
yeah.
week, we talk
cool
about
cat,
we talk
passer.
About loose hips and everything because it's right. Combine week, but I think he was going for the cool factor of it.
I don't think that's he's, right
you know,
at all.
He's like, you know, he's like the Chester Cheetah. He's got the sunglasses on and the big cello, and he's playing
that's
that
your,
thing.
That's your epitome of hip?
Yeah.
Chester Cheetah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chester cool. Cheetah was hip back in the day. Joe Camel, that guy was cool.
I studied high school football. I love high school football. Coming from the state of Texas, obviously.
Binkley.
But if you just study high school football, you know the direction of the National Football League down the road. I mean, all those quarterbacks are athletes now. And they pass year-round in these 7-on-7 camps. So now you have athletes that are really good passers. And you can do so many things with that. But you have a handful of quarterbacks that can still win from the pocket.
I think he's talking about Marlboro man Joe Cool, hip
How
passer.
How would you be a hip passer? You're throwing the ball from the hip.
Wasn't Snoopy Joe Cool?
Yeah. I said Joe Camel, didn't I? Or did I say Joe Cool?
Or maybe. Either one.
Either way, that's what he's talking about.
I don't think he is.
I'm rocking the Mac, the knife shades that I got at McDonald's back in the 80s.
They're hip passers now. They throw the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're hip to passing.
Yeah, they're hip to passing.
I think that's what he means.
A lot.
Not hip to be scored.
I do love the fact that he talks about high school football, though, because that to me is really interesting, because for so many years, once a quarterback came to the NFL, they were going to, you know, change the way that he played the game. Like we saw Justin Herbert, whatever his name is, from Oregon up there, right?
Justin Herbert.
Not Herbert. So
he's got an R in it,
right?
It's like an R. So Herbert, not right next to each other.
So Justin Herbert's up there, and the caption Herbert. Under his name and his thing was never taken a snap under center in his life. 5 years ago in the NFL, you can't draft that guy. He's never taken
a
snap.
They said that about Mahomes too.
They said that about Mahomes, but I think he's changed the trend. And so what Anthony Lynn, I think Anthony Lynn is very progressive in this. He's looking at these guys. What they did in high school, what they're doing in college. For 8 years, these guys never took a snap. Why am I going to all of a sudden change the game and make them get under center?
Man, Anthony Lynn's hip.
He is. Like, I love that. I love listening to Anthony Lynn and hearing that. That's a good coach.
There
right
was
there.
A definite shift because this was all forced upon the NFL.
Yes.
913 saying hip is lingo for good.
And because there was a fight. There was a long-time fight.
It wasn't a fight. It was a battle.
Wasting all these quarterbacks in college because the systems weren't going to translate to the NFL. Like the NFL's found a way to do it.
How many of these quarterbacks in the last decade did we see that didn't get an opportunity in the NFL that maybe could have been a Patrick Mahomes type?
There's a disgruntled all 7-on-7 champion out there. It's all pissed off. The NFL ruined his chances.
Some tiny hand, knock-kneed quarterback going, I could have been Pat!
Yeah, exactly.
My coaches told me I couldn't.
I'm glad the NFL is finally kind of advancing, though, their line of thinking where they're like, for 8 years these guys did this. Now all of a sudden in their 20s we're going to change them and make them get under center and do something different because it conforms to our league. Why don't we conform to them? And I think that's why teams like the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Texans, like these teams are having the success right now because not every team is fully adopted and you know, advanced to that style of play, both offensively or defensively.
When do you think they'll get hip to it?
I think it'll probably be in the next 5 years everybody will be hip to it. I do. I think in the next five years, we will hardly see a quarterback under center anymore.
All those cool cats and daddy-os.
I mean, you have such a better opportunity to complete a play when you're not under center. You've already dropped back.
Bunch of jive turkey out here being quarterback. You got to be a hip quarterback.
I still don't know how money they are. It's quarterback.
That's true.
That's a strong pull.
That is a really good pull right there. That's probably where we need to end it.
I thought we were going to end with this Oreo conversation.
Max stuff for me.
Yes, you can buy. This is via radio.com. You can buy a new gift pack at Walmart stores, $24.99.
It's essentially the same price as buying all of the Oreos.
Right, but they have them all
in one box. It's very convenient.
You can buy the thins.
Oh, well, since you put it in a box.
The thins, the regular, the double stuff, the mega stuff, and the most stuff.
Give me the most stuff.
Then you determine what your... what your stuff level is. According to the, it's a fantastic idea.
I need as much stuff as I can possibly
get. I don't have any
get.
Use for the thins.
No, they're useless.
They're pretty good. I like them.
And I'm really,
the
I'm
cookie's
really
the star of the show.
In between the original and double, and I don't need anything more.
I don't like the cookie texture of the Oreo. I like the stuff.
You dunk it in milk. That's why. You soak it in the milk. You got to hold it under the water.
Yeah.
Like you're.
That's a game changer.
You're trying to drown it. Like you're trying to drown the cookie. Hold it until it becomes soft between your fingers. Then it's consumable.
All right.
That's all you need. You need regular stuff. No double. You don't need the peanut butter or the mint, although those are pretty good.
What if you just take your own peanut butter and smear it on
that original, regular stuff. You don't need any more. What are we doing?
Most stuff.
Have you seen that? It's like a half a marshmallow crammed between two Oreo cookies.
I'm good with that.
Coming up on Cody and Gold, the guys have the latest on the NFL CBA and how it could impact Mahomes' contract going forward. That's next.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.